Welcome once again to Voice of Reason Radio. Your hosts, Chris Honholtz and Richard Story, joining you on April 26, 2018 for what now marks our two-year anniversary. 2 years of annoying the living daylights out of the internet. Rich, how do you feel about that?
Well, my brother Chris Honholtz, and yes, I still threw that in, even though, just to let our listeners know, this is like take three for the night because we've been sidetracked having to squash little gremlins that keep creeping along. But yes, it has been a very, very blessed 2 years with you on Voice of Reason Radio. And while, you know, honestly, while we love to be able to do this show and hopefully glorify God and to bring some joy and help to others, I am very selfish in this, that I simply just enjoy talking to my brother Chris and enjoy spending this time with you each week. How are you doing, brother?
Well,
Are you better?
I'm better, despite the fact that you're trying to make me ill by bringing up that wonderful flub I did just a few programs ago that I now have to go and delete from the archives so that people never have to hear that again. But you know, aside from that, yes, I'm doing better. For folks that didn't notice my commentary on Twitter, because I just felt the absolute need to share with all y'all, I was violently ill this week. I came down with some stomach bug or food poisoning or something that, well, when your sergeant says, give me the files, I will go to court, you go home. You just came out of the bathroom for the second time that morning, making terrible retching noises. That's a good indicator that you're not well desired around the office, and you need to go home and die underneath the covers.
And what is really interesting is, even though Chris and I are separated almost literally by the entire country and from coast to coast, he had almost to the day, a week or 2 weeks later, I went through almost exactly the same thing. My wife suggested that he and I may need to quit doing this radio show if we're getting that in sync with each other.
That's a scary thought. That is a scary thought, and probably will now be fodder for those of you on the internet for at least a week until you come up with something else to make fun of us with. But yeah, it was, the sad part about it is I have a very strange reaction to, in my blood capillaries in my skin, is that they break very easily. It's nothing hazardous. It's just like if I wear a heavy backpack or shoulder bag, it'll leave a mark on my shoulder. It looks like I got bruised. Well, the problem is when you get ill and you make that prayer to the porcelain deities, and that'll get me in trouble with somebody, I'm sure, your facial features tend to freeze up, and I'm trying to be as polite as possible. Well, when blood capillaries in your face break and you have that kind of violent locking of the facial features, your face looks like a purple grape by the time it's done. I looked purple for about 2 days. People looked at me and thought, did you get sunburned? Or it was not a pleasant experience.
Yes, but the good thing is you can laugh about it now.
Well, I have to laugh about it. Otherwise, it's just, I'm going to hide in shame because I couldn't believe it. It looked terrible. I came back to work the next day and people were like trying to send me to the ER. It was not a pretty sight.
They thought you had a reaction to food, but a food allergy to, did you swell up or were you just a walking eggplant?
No, it was just the facial feature. It's just bizarre. It's just, I've always had it. I can't explain it. It just easily, you know, they break easily, and I look weird when it happens. So, but thankfully, God is gracious. I'm pretty sure I lost weight because I didn't eat a lot the last couple days. Today's the first day that I've probably eaten food normally for the past several days. So I'm pretty sure I dropped a couple pounds just by, you know, hiding under covers and drinking water just to stay hydrated.
Well, not to gross out our listeners, but for your and I and my own amusement, What was the last thing you ate prior to getting sick?
That's what made me wonder if it was food poisoning, is I ate it at Jack in the Box.
Okay.
It was hamburger, fries, and a Coke. And I mean, it's not the greatest food in the world, but I've never had a reaction like that. And it didn't taste like there was anything wrong with it. There was no funny taste to it. It was literally just a Swiss cheese and bacon cheeseburger. So it's entirely possible that I got some bad meat, and it lasted for 2 days. The violently ill part didn't carry over much into the second day. It was mostly just being extremely nauseous, sweaty, that kind of thing, tired. But when I woke up this morning, I felt 100% better. So it's possible it was food poisoning. I don't know what it was. I'm just glad it's gone.
did you utilize my invention from when I was sick?
No, I did not.
I renamed it. Everyone's heard of air sick bags. I came up with a new invention. It's called the ground sickness bucket. Basically, you take an empty gallon water jug, leave the handle in, cut the side out, and you're good to go.
Thankfully, I was able to get to the restroom quickly enough on most occasions, so there wasn't any need for an additional contraption, but I need to keep that in mind for future use. You know, in my line of work, you get exposed to a lot of illness, and God is pretty gracious that I've built up a fair amount of sick leave, I've got a month and a half worth of sick leave built up just because I don't have to use it very often, and so it's one of those things that I don't catch the bug as often as most people would, even exposed to that kind of stuff. But when I catch something, it kicks me to the ground hard.
Well, maybe you can keep that idea in the back of your mind and keep an empty water jug in the trunk of your work vehicle. It may prevent you from having to rinse out the floorboard at some point down the road.
Yeah, no kidding. No kidding. So, despite the fact that it's our 2-year anniversary and we probably should be trying to make this an enjoyable experience, we have done exactly what we've always done for 2 years. And that's just annoy the living daylights out of you for about the first 10 minutes of the show. So thank you if you've joined us wondering, yeah, are they going to do anything different? No, not really.
Basically, you're telling them if they've gagged their way through the first portion of the show.
Whoa, Rich, you there? Oh, there you are.
Yes. Insert laughter here.
I tell you, Rich, you scared me for a second. We've had gremlins. Don't do the silent thing on me. Scare the daylights out of me. Yeah, you know, a couple programs back, and I think we talked about this last time. We do apologize. We had about a half hour section where Rich's volume went completely dead, and as we started to record the first take of this tonight, I'm looking down at the digital recorder, and I can see my levels going all the way across the board. And when Rich is talking, they were just barely moving. And I took the micro SD card out, threw it in the laptop, and sure enough, had the same exact reaction. So now I tend to watch the digital recorder like a hawk. So Rich was talking, and then he was gone.
We had a sister. She sent me a private message and asked, for our 2-year anniversary show, were we going to do a blooper show? And I told her, well, we've done nearly 70 shows. Just take your pick. Every one of them is a blooper show.
That's exactly it. It's high comedy. We just never intended it to be. 2 years, Rich. What an amazing gift God has given us. 2 years. I honestly can't imagine that there are folks that have tagged along this long with us, and some of them have been very faithful. And
I'm surprised that not only have many of them stayed on this journey with us, but we've actually gained new listeners and new people that we've come in contact with that have listened to the show, that have commented and given us feedback on the show. And I'm just blown away by the fact that the Lord allows us to not only enjoy each other's company and share a few laughs, but sharing his word and sharing building up the body of Christ. I'm going to just right off the bat and just jump in. I'm going to throw you under the bus right off the get-go. Okay. How's that?
Okay, fine. Well, that'd be no different than any other show, so by all means.
Looking back over 2 years and our very first episode, would you recap for the listeners what, at that time, what we based the show on, what we had hoped to accomplish, and do you think we accomplished it, and where do you hope to see the Lord lead this show in the future?
Wow. I'll tell you what, the first program we did, we had to go back and look this up. We read this verse on episode 1 of Voice of Reason Radio. It was a passage from Ephesians 4, verses 1 through 3. I, therefore, a prisoner of the Lord, this is Paul writing to the Ephesians, prisoner for the Lord, urge you to walk in a manner worthy of the calling to which you've been called, with all humility and gentleness, with patience, bearing with one another in love, eager to maintain the unity of the Spirit in the bond of peace. Pardon me. When we recorded that program, Rich, you and I had talked about, as I recall, one of the issues that we saw in the body, especially online. That's because so much of what our interactions with everybody tends to be online was, and it still is a problem. The issue that we've seen was the divisiveness, this using theology as a club, not in the sense that, you know, we're not trying to be the kind of theology is divisive, don't teach that. And we never wanted that. And anybody that's listened to the program knows that. We want people to be grounded in solid doctrine. But when it came to those areas of differences that still fell within orthodoxy, how utterly divisive, how utterly cruel we could be to one another. And we wanted to use this program to hopefully be an example. It was never going to be anything that where you could be a substitute for church. If anybody's ever thinking that you can substitute church for this, first off, don't even begin to think that. Hey, Rich, I don't know what I'm getting. You got a little bit of strange noise coming across your headset there.
I apologize.
No problem. But we wanted it to be about how can we as Christians, talking about worldview issues, talking about theological issues, doctrinal issues, discuss these things in a balanced manner to where we were speaking the truth in love and we were driving the body of Christ further to be further unified in Christ, in the Spirit, being patient, bearing each other in love, and seeking that unity. Not a false unity like you and I see all the time, Rich. Oh, we just need to get along, and so join us on the left-leaning side and leave your theology behind. No, we don't believe in that nonsense. But we wanted there to be unity that was based on the Word of God, and where we could not budge on certain things, at least be charitable. And that was what we always hoped we would accomplish this. We always had two goals. Number one was to glorify God, to bring glory to His name. And the second was to edify the saints. And do I think we've accomplished that? I would say, I hope we have. I hope we have. I think in the communications that we've received, we get an occasional concern raised here or there. But with the little bit of input we get, the interactions that we get online and stuff like that, it generally seems to be that people appreciate the approach that we have brought to this program. We haven't gone on over our way to be snarky, though when snark was necessary, we would bring it. When we didn't go out of our way to be controversial, though we would not shy from controversy. Obviously, the last three episodes have proven that. if you haven't listened to the past three episodes, do so at your own risk. but you know, we didn't, you know, we were never going to be those discernment guys, but where discernment was necessary, we would do so. And so I hope we've spoken in the spirit of Ephesians 4, 1 through 3, that our intent was to call the body of Christ to walk in a manner worthy of that calling. And so I hope in almost 70 shows, and yes, if you do the math, 52 weeks a year, 104 weeks at 70 shows means we missed a few. We have lives. We, as you hear, Rich and I occasionally get sick, and sometimes duty calls, and we're not available. So we thank you for your patience, by the way. But
hey, brother,
go ahead.
I'm going to interrupt you right here. I'd like to add a third point to what you were saying, that I hope and pray that we've done the following in a way that has honored God. We wanted, in my mind, we have always wanted to be true to the Word of God,
yes,
and not ever drift from that. But at the same time, approach some subjects in a way that is honoring the Bible, but from a perspective that maybe comes in at a different angle than most people generally view it. And I'll just go ahead and use this as an example. We had talked about possibly discussing a favorite episode each of us has had, or an episode that has impacted us over the last 2 years. And for me, it would be the episode we did back September 16th. Of 2017, and the name of that episode was "Are You Afraid to Pray?" And I think that's one episode that has stayed with me probably more so than any of the others, because not only was it personal to me, and it was issues in that episode we addressed that I had found myself being guilty of at times, but because of some feedback that we received from the listeners, it was a subject that most people had never even really considered, and found themselves being hesitant to pray at times because of the fact that sometimes God's answer is yes, but the yes most often is not in the way that we would expect it to be. And that was my example for my point number three, is that we hope to continue to be able to be led by the Lord and to approach some subjects at times from a biblical angle that generally you don't see among others online.
Yeah, I agree with you. That has always been our desire, was to be truthful to Scripture. I absolutely agree. And I think that you're right. We've always tried to make a point. Our programs weren't necessarily to always talk about what everybody else was talking about. That's actually what made the two episode we did on the racism discussion that was going on, thanks to MLK 50, rather unique, because it was one of those times where we did wade into waters that was being covered by so many other people. But the circumstances, I think, demanded that. But we've always tried to make it about what can we approach, what discussion can we have that would be applicable to just about anybody in any given circumstances. And we've talked about things about from as far reaching as how to respond to companies that have treated us inappropriately, to pragmatic stuff in the church, to even getting very theological in things like, you know, godly sorrow and repentance. So we've tried to hit a wide range of topics, and I hope that is something that makes our program somewhat unique. I don't know that we can necessarily be unique in a podcast culture. I mean, we're blessed to be part of the Muniac Media Network. You can go to muniacmedia.com. You got to throw that in there, Ryan. But that talks about the various podcasts that are a part of the show. And everybody has in that network, every program that's listed there is trying to do what I hope we're trying to accomplish, and that's honor God and be truthful to His Word and be an edifying force for the body of Christ. So I think you're right that is our approach has always been to try and forgive me for stealing a phrase from a certain news network, but I think we've always tried to be fair and we've tried to be balanced. We've tried not to be voices that went far right or far left into a ditch. We always wanted to take a balanced approach. And I think you and I both agreed when we started this program that our desire was to cause people to think about an issue biblically and to be thoughtful in how they applied stuff, as opposed to what we have so often seen on the online discourses. So much of it has been very tribal in its thinking. I'm of this podcast, I'm of that blog, and so if you disagree with this person, then that person can't be right, and now a war has started. And we see that going on today. And so we've always tried to not wade into those waters, because as Christians, what we want is that we are standing firm where we need to stand firm, that we don't give ground on the things that God has said you don't give ground on, but to at least be willing to approach those issues and be willing to engage with ears that are quick to listen and mouths not so fast to speak. So yes, we do a lot of speaking on the show, and yes, we speak definitively, so I get where that might sound a little hypocritical maybe, but Rich, I hope that's something we've accomplished. And to answer your third question, what do we want for the future? Honestly, I don't know that I want to see it change. I want us to continue to address those issues. What would I like to do different if there was anything different? I'd like to be better informed in the Word of God. It's not to say that I don't know the Word of God. I just want to know more. Because one of the things that I fear is that some of us, we're so certain of our theological stances, we're not willing to grow in our understanding. And so we just kind of create these echo chambers. Even when we're right, we just want those echo chambers. I want to grow. I want to know more. And I want to be able to explore more and share more about the Word of God. And I hope that that's something we can do, is that we can use Voice of Reason Radio as a means of encouraging the body of Christ to continue growing in the Word of God, to continue reforming our own personal understandings, to continue being good Bereans, not just jumping on a bandwagon issue because everybody else is, but because we've studied the Word of God, we rightly know how to apply it, and that is what we make our daily practice. So if there's anything I would like to see Voice of Reason Radio do in the future, is to continue to make good Bereans. Which we cannot do that. That's the work of God and the Holy Spirit, and it should be something that's happening in the local church. But maybe, just maybe, God can use us as some sort of tertiary supportive tool that encourages Christians to do that, to be better Bereans and to study the Word of God more.
Well, I think it's something you and I have discussed at times over the last 2 years, and it's something I'm going to put out to our listeners as to what they would like to hear us discuss. I would love for our listeners to send us more subject ideas or topic ideas. And if at some point, if some of you would like to basically hear Chris and I have an open mic Bible study, to where he and I take a passage of scripture and go through it and study it like you would in a church setting with a Bible study group. If there's some of you out there that, find yourself at times because of sickness or other situations that you're not able to make it to church, if that's something that would edify you or help some of you out there, and if that's something that some of you would be interested in, just shoot us a message and let us know, and we would be more than happy to consider it and look into it and see what Chris and I could possibly do with an idea like that. But Chris, it's been 2 years, and I know we've, like you said, we've covered a wide array of topics, and on purpose, we have avoided a lot of the headline headline type news or the headline topics that a lot of the podcasts seem to gravitate towards. We've tried to stay out of some of these. I was trying to remember the word that you used earlier. Basically, this ministry is fighting or squabbling with this ministry. We've on purpose tried to stay out of that, trying to make this show something different, because a lot of the podcasts, and it seems to run in trends that this week everybody's covering this topic, or next week everyone's covering this topic, and it seems to be the hot button issue of what's online at that given moment. And if we wanted to do this strictly for ratings, we could jump on that bad bandwagon and go with it. The one reason we covered the issues surrounding the MLK 50 conference the way that we did, because it was such a huge biblical subject and has such a huge impact on the church. And honestly, that was a subject that just kind of, that show topic just kind of jumped out at us, and you know, we went with it. But you know, I appreciate everything that you've done for the show over the last 2 years, brother, because without you it would be nothing, because you do all the hard leg work. I'm just kind of here as your comedic sidekick. You know, I'm your Ed McMahon. You're Johnny Carson, and I'm your Ed McMahon. Yes, I'm dating myself. But I do seriously thank you for all your hard work and the time that you put into editing this show and getting it all posted. I'm pretty much at times the idea man behind it, but you're the one that pulls it all together and makes it work, brother, and I do appreciate it.
Well, I appreciate it too, but folks, don't let him fool you. There have been many times that Rich has come into a program far more prepared than I have and done a lot more legwork than he's letting on to. There is no Voice of Reason Radio without either person. God has been gracious enough that he has put these two knuckleheads who, between the two of us, can share a brain cell. And and we come up with half-cocked ideas that sometimes work. But Rich, and we've pat each other on the back off and on throughout the last 2 years, but it's well meaning, it's well intended, and it's deserved, I think, at least from me to Rich, because he's kept me humble, he's kept me on task, he's poked and prodded me during the week for ideas when I've been sidetracked or distracted. And Rich, without you, there isn't a program. You joke about the being the comedic sidekick, which, believe me, that is not all that you are. Even that brings this show to, I think, a level that, it keeps it conversational. It keeps people engaged, and it makes it realize you don't have to be lofty theologians in an ivory tower somewhere to take the Word of God seriously and know that theology has a place. And we can talk about it conversationally, and we can talk about it in day-to-day usage. And it's how it should be. And I think that, you say that I do a lion's share. I don't believe that for a second. This has always been a partnership. It's been 50-50. We've both shared the work in ways unimaginable. But you know what, you saying that, it occurs to me there are some folks that we probably should thank, that I know we've always touched on it throughout the last 2 years, but there are some folks that I think we really need to thank. And folks like, for example, the guy who put us together, Tony Miano. Neither of us would be doing this if the guy didn't, basically require us to volunteer to help him on his program those many years ago.
That was kind of an army volunteer type thing.
Yeah, it was you were voluntold is how we called it in the army.
Do you realize, and I can't honestly at the moment, I can't remember what year that was, but between Cross Encounters Radio, and I think we did almost 170 episodes with Cross Encounters Cross Encounters Radio, and now we've done nearly 70 with Voice of Reason Radio. you would think with that type of experience, you and I both would be farther down the road in podcasting.
You would think that. You know, it's... I'm going to see if I can look this up. Now you got me wondering. Cross Encounters Radio, what was the first program we did? Boy, that was so many moons ago. Let me see.
For some reason, I still think it was in 2012.
Oh, goodness. The way this website's all set up is almost impossible to tell. Let me see if I can back this up far enough. But, yeah, it was... With all of that, you'd think we would be like experts, but if anybody's listening to the show, they know better.
Now you're looking at that, I'm going to ask you, prior to Tony Miano and Cross Encounters Radio, had you ever done anything remotely close to online radio or another podcast or real life radio or anything?
Nope, absolutely not. And looking at this, this was Cross Encounters started 5 years ago is what it says. So that would have been 2013 is when we got started 5 years ago.
I'm going to have to disagree with that because
it says 5 years.
I know, but I know that in 2013, I was able to go to the Super Bowl outreach with Tony in New Orleans. That was in February of 2013, and we had been doing the show prior to that.
Oh, you know what? I bet because we started in August, as I recall. So it could be August of 2012. So I can check back in August, and we'll see if it says 6 years. Probably is what it is because there wasn't a date listed. It just said 5 years ago. So I'll concede that. Maybe it's been closer to 6 years. I'd had no experience. I had no idea. The closest I came to podcast, experience was, you know, downloading it and sticking it on an iPod and listening while I was at work. I didn't have a clue. And I've said this story before. Tony was getting ready to start Cross Encounters Radio, and he and I have a shared background in law enforcement. We both have similar experience. I work in a different field of law enforcement, but because of that, he and I had built an online friendship. We'd met a couple of times in different environments, and so we had a camaraderie of sorts. He goes to start this program, and he puts out there on Facebook that he's looking for a partner to help him run the soundboard and stuff. I have no idea how this stuff works. Don't ask me. I'm still trying to figure it out 6 years later. And so all I did was hit the like button. That was it. I had a piece of junk computer. I didn't know what I was doing. And I get back a response. I was hoping you would like this, Chris. Hint, hint. I still remember that quote. Don't ask me what I read in the Bible this morning. I still remember that comment. And next thing I know, I'm talking to my wife. We're making a mad dash to Best Buy to get a computer that would actually handle what he's asking me to do. And by that weekend, I'm learning how to man the soundboard and the chat room for Blog Talk Radio, which I do not encourage anybody to use as a podcast medium. It's great if you really want a live show, if you really need it. It was caused us more headaches than we ever wanted to do because it loved to kick us off at random times. And so we had to fill in for each other while the other person got back on the show. But Tony recruited me that way. And then he did that, I know, in a similar manner for you. And both of us have still been trying to figure out what we're doing ever since, it feels like.
I can remember, and Tony, you may not admit this, but I know you did this intentionally to both of us because it was too coincidental, especially when you first started out with Tony, and I can remember the episode to where mysteriously Tony drops off and you have to finish out the show. That was kind of like, okay, you're going to get on-the-job training, but we're just going to pick you up and toss you out in the middle of the lake, and we're going to drive the boat back. It's kind of like SEAL training, you know, either swim or sink. And he did the exact same thing to me a few months later. And I never will forget that. So, Tony, shame on you.
Well, this is the same guy that would fire not just me, but both of us, and then expect us to show up for the show at the end of the week. So I don't put anything past him. The guy's devious.
But we love him.
Very much so. In fact, he was our first on-air guest for this program. And, of course, that was the night when everything went sideways and recording went down the hill in a heartbeat. So,
since then, and I've got that in my notes, that was, and yes, Tony was our very first guest on Voice of Reason Radio, although we've never had very many because we're still learning, and we're using a setup now completely different than then. I think we're to the point now to where we might start being able to have a guest from time to time.
Yeah.
But Tony was on to discuss Project 1019. Mm-hmm. It's a outreach that he does, reaching law enforcement community with the gospel. And that was August the 6th of 2016.
Yeah. I think that was still one of my favorites because it was two things. It was bringing the three of us back together again. We hadn't done that in so long. It was like a family reunion, and I missed that. And it was also because what Tony was doing, and still does, I mean, he was just posting about it, I think, today, stands out in front of law enforcement buildings with a Police Lives Matter sign with a Bible verse and hands out gospel tracts and talks to the officers and builds a camaraderie with the law enforcement community that I think is absent even in evangelicalism these days. I mean, there's just, it's such a shame, in my opinion, an utter shame that there are high profile evangelicals that cannot wait to jump on a bandwagon and be quick to blame law enforcement so that they appear sensitive to another community, another group of people, a political ally, whatever it is. And you know what? I'm going to name a couple of names. Shame on you, Matt Chandler. Shame on you, Tabidi Anyabwile. Shame on you, Russell Moore and others that just care so little about the law enforcement community that you're just willing to throw them under a bus and drive right over them, back up, and drive over again. Shame on you guys.
Interestingly, law enforcement is the local authority that God has placed over us. So by, you know, denouncing law enforcement as a whole, they are standing in opposition to what God has ordained and put in our lives.
Absolutely. And I'll tell you right now, as someone who has been involved in law enforcement for coming up on two decades, there is one thing I cannot stand. It is a bad cop. I want bad cops held accountable. And I've seen videos where I've gone, no, that's not right what that officer did. They kiss your job goodbye. You deserve to be held accountable. In fact, they just announced, what was it called? The Golden Valley Killer, I think it was. It was a series of murders.
Oh, yeah, I saw that.
The guy was a former police officer. Now, he got fired, praise God, because he obviously was a terrible officer. But this guy, during that time, DNA evidence has connected him to crimes involving these murders and these rapes.
I think, if I remember right, wasn't it like a 47-year-old case?
Something like that, yeah. It was between the 70s and 80s, 1970 and 1980 or something like that. It was quite a few years. And I hope they ding him for everything. I don't have a problem with a cop who has done something wrong being held accountable. I want us held accountable. I am unique, I think, on the internet sometimes as a law enforcement officer who says, I don't want blind support of law enforcement. I just want a healthy skepticism that says if they've been found guilty and the evidence shows that and they can actually be adjudicated and proven, then let them be held accountable. But don't assume guilt just because you've got a beef with the cops. And that's what I've always said.
And that's the problem, just like any other career profession, and you'll find it in the medical field. We are fallible human beings, and that's the problem. You have fallible human beings in positions of authority, but don't lump all of them together. Because basically, they'll say, few bad apples in the barrel.
Yeah.
I mean, you know, and as long as we're on this earth, we're going to have to deal with fallen, sinful men. And sadly, even in law enforcement and the medical field, you have people that are out to do nothing but line their pockets and, you know, have their own agendas.
Yeah. And that's why I appreciated having Tony on the program for that reason, is that he was trying to reach people that even the good cops are not all saved. There are good cops that bust their rumps day in and day out. That doesn't make them saved. God's not going to give them a special pass into heaven. Now, I will be I have no problem saying, you know, the rest easy, we take it from here when I hear one has passed, because I care about their families, and I'm not going to use that as an opportunity to go, gee, I hope he's not gone to hell. I won't do that online. I will show respect to the families to say what is, I think, a respectful gesture. But I will say that just because a person is a law enforcement officer doesn't mean they're going to heaven. Just because they protected their communities from evil does not mean that God will look over their evils, you know. And there's going to come a time when they stand in judgment. And Tony is doing something I think, sadly, far too many within evangelicalism are not willing to do, and that is take the gospel to those people.
Let me ask you a question based on what you just said. Do you think being in law enforcement, a person will be judged or set to a higher standard when they stand before God, since they are in a position of authority and are representatives of God in the means of keeping the peace?
What I know is this, is that though when Scripture says, seek not to be many masters, because they're held to the stricter judgment. There is evidence in Scripture that the more knowledge you have of God's Word, and the more knowledge you have of His means of salvation and everything else, that He holds you to a higher standard. And so those who purport to know God's Word and teach God's Word have a stricter judgment. We know that those who will lead children astray and cause them to sin against the Lord and violate His commandments, they have a strict judgment, because they are leading people into sin. Do I believe that law enforcement is somehow in that same category? I honestly don't know, because law enforcement, as it is defined in our nation today, is not the enforcement of God's laws. So it may be that as law enforcement, should we be more sensitive to our own consciences, which is God's law written on our heart? I would say yes, we should. If there's anybody who understands the nature of law and conviction, we should know it well. And so might that somehow be something that God uses? I say it's possible, but I don't have anything from Scripture that would indicate that. But I think that when it comes to our sin and our judgment before God, I think there's a great many of us who have worn the badge that are going to be very shocked that just because we wore the white hat on this earth, that somehow we're not going to get a special pass. And that's what makes that need for the gospel to the people with the badge so important.
Would you agree that in the church and outside of the church, of course, but looking harder at the inside of the church, do you think over the last two or three decades we have gotten a very low view of authority, even God's authority and the authority of those He has placed over us?
I would say, especially in America, I think that's a big problem. Let's say, like, in the last decade, we saw under President Bush a person who ostensibly, I don't know that it's we can say for sure he was, ostensibly was an evangelical Christian. And the things he did, we mostly agreed with. And then along comes somebody who was 180 degrees polar opposite in President Obama, and seemed to go entirely in opposite direction. And we began to realize that many of the things, in my opinion, I don't think we really attributed them to Bush, but President Bush laid the groundwork for some things that President Obama just simply did with a different agenda in mind. And we suddenly kind of saw the abuse of authority and how it could be used against us. And that has created a very libertarian political mindset, even within the Christian church. And that has caused a great deal of mistrust, a great deal of animosity to any kind of authority, because we want this libertarian thing, this libertarian view of politics, so we as Christians can do whatever we feel we need to do to spread the word of God. And I think that has caused a rift that is still needing a lot of repairs. There's little question. I've seen this on the internet, and I've had discussions with people too. Under the previous administration, I was among, I think, a smaller group of people that said, look, even if you and I think both did this, Rich, I should say, even if we don't like what the government is doing, if it is not causing us to sin, we still need to remember Romans 13. We still need to remember that we have to honor, the scriptures say, honor the emperor, and respect those in authority above you. And of course, if you said that, you could get your head chopped off, virtually speaking, on the internet. Where it becomes an issue for to be disobedient is when you're being required to sin, just like Peter was being held before the Sanhedrin, and they're saying, "Don't preach in Jesus' name." He says, "Whether that's right for me to obey God or obey men, you decide. But I'm going to obey God." That was the only caveat. And that attitude, that to be able to say that is still very much an unaccepted view even amongst conservative evangelicals. And it's rarely I think rightly applied to say that Romans 13 doesn't apply everywhere. And so I think there's a lot of work that still needs to be done in that regard.
Maybe that may be a topic we might can address somewhere down the road. Is God's authority and how we should view the authority that is placed over us in America, especially when we don't agree with policies that the office is putting out or the policies that the local government is putting out. We may not agree with them. They may not be necessarily going against God, but how should we respond as Christians to those issues? Because I think there's a lot of confusion, at least based on things that I've read. Evangelicals get involved in a lot of things that are more political than biblical, and they seem to confuse the two to where they make a secular issue a biblical issue with no biblical evidence to support their views or their means of approaching that subject.
Yeah, no, absolutely. And Rich, you and I, that's something we have tried to encourage throughout the 2 years that we've done this, is that it is a biblical lens that we need to look through first. That when we consider an issue, what does the Word of God have to say? Not what is my politics, what is my personal preference, what does society say? We don't want those to be the first consideration. We always want the Word of God to be the first consideration. And it's interesting because you look at what's going on in England right now with a little boy, 23-month-old boy named Alfie Evans. And it's funny that the political state of England and their healthcare system has created a scenario where a little boy, if you were here in America and had a doctor who said your little boy has a rare condition and he's just going to die, we don't want to do anything for him, you would take him from there and you would go to some other hospital, some other doctor, and you would find somebody that would take care of your child. And here in England, you've got a situation where a little boy has been consigned to death by a hospital because they said, well, we don't feel it would actually do any good to treat him, and we just need to pull him off the ventilator, and we just need to let him die because that's best for the child. And you know, when the parents said, no, we don't want to do that, we want to take him to Italy, now the hospital and is having to force these parents to go into a court, and the court is siding with the hospital and saying it's in the best interest for the child to die. And there's huge political and moral discussions going on around this. And while some of those are valid and worth having, to me, and even though I've said this, this is what, you know, this is what you can expect from socialized medicine. I even made a note of that the other day on Twitter. That's not the big discussion. The big discussion is why shouldn't Charlie, I got the wrong kid in my head. Why shouldn't Alfie Evans be given every opportunity to live, even if it's slim? And it's because he's created in the image and likeness of God. He's created Imago Dei. He has value because he's a creation of God.
Let me ask you a question at this point. Mm-hmm. And I think maybe some others might have this question based on things that you and I both have said up to this point. And basically, at this point, it went from the hospital to the courts, and you can, you know, it'd be easy to say, okay, the government is saying, no, you cannot take this child, leave this country, and go somewhere else and seek treatment. Based on that, would you say that that government is in violation of God's word by denying this child health care?
Absolutely.
Absolutely. Based on what scripture?
Well, okay. Go back to, post-flood, and God tells Noah that if a man takes a person's life, he will require that man's blood. Why? Because a person is created in the image and likeness of God. God puts value on human life because he creates human life in his image and likeness. Any time that we have this depraved indifference where we can just assign no value to life, that somehow death is preferable, it's life is not worth living with a disability or having slim to no chance. We are just as bad as if we picked up a rock and bashed a person's head in because we have determined that that person has no right to life. That person can just die. That is the same as committing murder. We have assigned value on whether or not that person has a disability or not. It is a disturbing trend that is happening more and more. We are seeing abortions. What is it? The Netherlands, I think it is, that says, oh, we've almost got rid of Down syndrome. Right. You're killing every child in the womb that has it. And they're proud of this. By denying the child treatment and keeping the child alive to give every possible chance for life is the same as if you went into the womb and killed him because you think he's going to be born with this disability.
I'm going to take it one step farther and go to the New Testament. And when we read about good works, what is the primary good works that you see mentioned? What is the main one that you see mentioned? And that is to take care of widows and orphans. Basically, to take care of those that cannot take care of themselves.
Exactly.
And you cannot find a person more innocent, more needy than this sick little baby that is being allowed to die, whose parents are pleading. Not asking, they are pleading with the authorities to help them save their child by doing any and everything, all means necessary medically, to save this young child. And I'm not as up on the entire story as you are, Chris, but it's my understanding that all they wanted to do was to take their baby and go to Italy to seek treatment. They were not asking for the English government to provide anything to allow them to use that particular insurance or whatever it is they have over there. Mm-hmm. They simply wanted to take that baby, leave the country on their own, and you know, the means to do that or pay for it, you know, on their own or through friends and family, whatever. But basically, they were not asking the government to do it. They were asking to do it themselves, and the government would not allow them to leave the country with that child. That's the part that I've had the hardest time understanding.
Well, and this is what, you're absolutely right. They had, the Italian government made this child a citizen and said, we'll take him. The Vatican, the Pope, now, we have all kinds of issues with the Pope, okay? But the Pope said, we'll pay for it. We'll do it at this hospital that the Vatican has, and we will take care of it. And the British courts said, no, that wouldn't be in the best interest of the child. Why? Because in their mind, the best interest of the child is to die, because this isn't going to get better. There's no way to do it. Now, the funny thing is that he's had one acute care team diagnose him, and this is the same acute care team that said in February to the courts, yes, if we pull his ventilator, he'll probably die within minutes. The last I checked when I came home from work, Alfie Evans was still alive nearly 3 days since his ventilator was pulled. This kid is fighting for life. So much so that they were trying to keep, you know, the parents from putting even oxygen on him. They would interfere if the kid, they went to put an oxygen mask on him. The dad is you know, was doing mouth to mouth to get him breathing. And now, just now, they're finally putting oxygen on him. And they're giving him the barest levels of nutrition. They want this child to die. And the sad thing that makes me angry, and you can hear my voice raising, so please bear with me, is that people are saying, well, no, they weren't. This isn't about getting treatment for him to get better. It's just palliative care. Let me read to you what palliative care is. I just Googled this. It's a specialized medical care for people with a serious illness. This type of care is focused on providing relief from the symptoms and stress of a serious illness. The goal is to improve quality of life for both the patient and family. How is that not important? You mean that, it's just palliative. In other words, like, it's just barely, worth any effort. It's designed to improve his situation. Maybe he'll never be a child that has full command of every, aspect of his body and his mind. But the care would improve his life. And what they're saying is, no, that palliative care is not enough. He doesn't have enough value if he's not perfectly healthy, so let him die. That's in his best interest. That's sinful.
Basically, somebody within the British government did a cost analysis on letting this child live and came up with a number of a cost number as, okay, this is how much it's going to cost us. If this child lived to be 45 years old, this is how much money we're going to have to spend on this person's care for the next 45 years. That's the problem with socialism and socialized medicine.
Exactly.
And if that came to the United States, and you were speaking of the Netherlands and their claim to reducing the number of Down syndrome cases, and, you know, yet the reason those numbers are down is because of the number of abortions and situations like this, you know as well as I do that a great number of Americans would not be receiving any health care, much less the poor health care that many of us are currently receiving.
Yeah, no, absolutely. That's where it's headed. But the importance of what we do in this show is to highlight, as much as there's political considerations, as we've just talked about, as important as it is to understand that there are ethical and legal ramifications, what is the chief issue? Alfie Evans is a creation of God, created in the image and likeness of God, and therefore he is assigned value by God. And it is right and obedient to God to do everything that we can to help him. In fact, it was interesting as I've been reading through the Gospel of Matthew. I just finished up today. One of the things that we and I'm also going through. We're in John doing the devotional study that's provided by Table Talk Magazine. I've been doing that with my family. And there are those instances where Jesus heals on the Sabbath and the Pharisees are incensed. How dare he? And Table Talk Magazine made a very interesting point in all this, that the reason they were mad about healing on the Sabbath is they made allowances in their traditions for the Sabbath for things that absolutely needed to be done, like circumcising on the eighth day for a baby. You know, you can't avoid it. That's the eighth day. So, okay, we have to do it that day. Or your animal fell in a ditch. You have to get it out. You can't wait till tomorrow. So they would make those allowances in their tradition. But, well, healing, that person's been blind for 25 years. What's one more day? And they were incensed because Jesus would heal instead of wait and do it their traditional way. And Jesus was angry with them because they were upset that he healed on the Sabbath. Jesus said it's lawful to do good on the Sabbath. To do good, to heal. Jesus healed people on the Sabbath. Now, if Jesus said it was lawful and good to do good and to heal, and these people are in the creating the image and likeness of God, then it is right to do all that we can to heal them, to make their lives better, even if it's just palliative care. Now, we have a theological basis for an argument. And that's what I hope, Rich, that we can do in the future episodes, should God be gracious to allow it to continue with this program, is to continue to encourage people to go back to the Word of God and view everything they're dealing with in life through that biblical lens.
And as the name of our show is titled Voice of Reason, the Bible, the Word of God, is the only voice of reason in a very unreasonable world.
Amen. Well, Rich, we've taken up an hour of our listeners' time, and I know the last few episodes we've run long. This is our 2-year anniversary, and I think it's been a blessing to spend as much time as we have with them. Rich, what do you want to say to our listeners about the last 2 years before we shut down for the night?
The biggest thing I can say is thank you. Thank you for listening. Thank you for sharing. Thank you for the encouragement. Thank you for the feedback. But most of all, thank you for those that have prayed for us, because that we need more than anything else in our personal lives and in the lives as two little knuckleheaded podcast radio show hosts. Prayer sustains us. And I thank you with all that is in me. I thank you for those prayers.
Amen. Amen. Folks, from Rich and I to you, we thank you beyond what we can describe. There is no Voice of Reason Radio without two things. Number one, the Lord. There's no Voice of Reason without God. But number two, it's a radio program. It's a podcast. If we were talking to nobody and there were no listeners, then we're talking to ourselves. You've made this last 2 years absolutely enjoyable. We look forward to doing this. And there are times, I can confess, that we've probably not been as prepared as we had liked. Or maybe it's like, oh man, I got to get this done. And, you know, I don't know if I have time. But when we get to doing it, it's just a wonderful experience, because we get to talk to people that we'll probably never meet face to face. And we get to talk about the most important thing in the world, and that's talking about the Word of God and talking about the gospel and talking about how we as Christians ought to apply it in our lives, and how that is the goal, that we're to be unified in the Word of God. So thank you for giving us 2 years of your time, almost 70 episodes. That's more than I probably ever imagined this show would do. to last this long. And some of you have been so encouraging and so kind. And some of you have brought your concerns to us and have been gracious even when you do. You put up with us on the internet, on in our interactions on Twitter and Facebook, and you share what we have to say. I can't think of a kinder act than to take two guys who don't have a string of letters behind their name, who aren't pastors or theologians of any renown, and to give us your time. And as Rich said, your prayers are coveted so much. It's the greatest thing we can ask from you. So thank you for giving us 2 years. We look forward to more if God is willing. And if you agree with that, if you want us to continue, we'd love to hear from you. voiceofreasonradio@gmail.com. You're welcome to write to us. You can find us on Facebook and Twitter. You can find us at our website, slavetotheking.com. But you guys make this show what it is because you take the time. So from Rich and I, thank you. Thank you for spending this time with us. We look forward to doing this again next week. You guys be blessed. Whatever you do this week, go out and do it for the glory of God. Good night. God bless. We'll see you then.